three worlds and they're worth taking shelter of because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna.
Pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Pure devotional service automatically puts one into transcendental pleasure. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. And pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harenama harenama eva kevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatir anyata. This is a class on the nectar of devotion, Srila Prabhupada's English translation of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is written in the same way that he did his Krishna book. It's more like a summary study. So today's chapter number 15, Spontaneous Devotional Service. And after we finish the chapter, we will do a little more in-depth study from the Chaitanya Charitamrita on this same topic. So with your permission, I will begin this class. Please confirm by chanting loudly the Maha Mantra. Examples of spontaneous devotional service can easily be seen in Krishna's direct associates in Vrindavan. The spontaneous dealings of the residents of Vrindavan in relationship with Krishna are called ragatmika. These beings don't have to learn anything about devotional service. They are already perfect in all regulative principles and have achieved the spontaneous loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, the cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna do not have to learn by austerities or penances or yogic practice how to play with him. They have passed all tests of regulative principles in their previous lives, and as a result, they are now elevated to the position of direct association with Krishna as his dear friends. Their spontaneous attitude is called ragatmika bhakti. As I'm reading this, I'm reminded of a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada also would quote it sometimes in his lectures, that these cowherd boys, Sukadeva Goswami makes the point, that after performing heaps of pious activities, they are getting the opportunity to play with Krishna as his cowherd friends. So I just remembered that. Okay, let us continue. Sri Rupa Goswami has defined ragatmika bhakti as spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed in thoughts in it with an intense desire of love. Devotional service executed with such feelings of spontaneous love is called ragatmika bhakti. Devotional service under the heading of ragatmika can be further divided into two categories. One category is called sensual attraction, and the other is called relationship. In this connection, there is a statement by Narada Muni to Yudhishthir in the 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse 30 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There, Narada says, so I'm going to do the Sanskrit, because you only have the paraphrase. Kamad dveshad bhayat snehad yadha bhakyeshvare mana aveshyatad aghang hitva bahavastad gatingadha. My dear king, there are many devotees who first become attracted to the personality of Godhead for purposes of sense gratification, from being envious of him, out of fear of him, or from desiring to associate affectionately with him. Ultimately, these attractions become freed from all material contamination, and gradually the worshiper develops spiritual love and achieves that ultimate goal of life desired by the pure devotee. So, one thing I'd like to comment. So, hearing this verse of Narada, you could make the case that it doesn't matter how you come to Krishna. The effect ultimately is going to be the same. If you come near fire, you're going to get warm. And if you touch it, you're going to get burnt. So if somehow or other you get connected to Krishna favorably, somehow or other, eventually you are going to be delivered. Let us continue. The gopis may be considered to be examples of spontaneous love in sensual attraction. The gopis are young girls, and Krishna is a young boy. Superficially, it seems that the gopis are attracted to Krishna on grounds of sex. So the key word, superficially. Similarly, King Kamsa was attracted to Krishna because of fear. Kamsa was always fearful of Krishna because it had been foretold that his sister's son, Krishna, would kill him. Shishupal was also always envious of Krishna and the descendants of King Yadu, due to their family relationship with Krishna, were always thinking of him as one of their members. All of these different kinds of devotees have a spontaneous attraction for Krishna in different categories, and they achieve the same desired goal of life. The attraction of the gopis for Krishna and the affection of the members of the Yadu dynasty are both accepted as spontaneous or ragatmika. The attraction of Kamsa to Krishna in fear and the attraction of Shishupal in envy are not accepted as devotional service, however, because their attitudes are not favorable. And there we're reminded of that verse, which is, you could say, is the mission verse, mission statement of this nectar of devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam, you know that verse, which defines pure devotional service. So in that verse, the word anukulyena, that the devotional service is favorable to Krishna. And I always make the point, not necessarily favorable to me, but it's favorable to Krishna. That's the criteria of pure devotional service, whether or not it's favorable for me. For instance, the classic example I always give, if you read that final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is giving the purport of his Shikshastakam prayers, when he comes to the eighth prayer, Radharani takes over, and Radharani is speaking, and she says, if there's something that Krishna likes and I don't like it, that thing becomes my favorite thing. And conversely, if there's something I like and Krishna hates it, then I hate that thing. That's the epitome of favorable devotional service, because it has nothing to do with how Radharani feels. It has to do with how Krishna feels. A mundane example would be a mother with her children. Mothers will do anything for their children, even at their own expense. Because, and even Prabhupada said, the closest example you have for a pure love of God is the love of the mother for the child. That's Prabhupada said, that's the closest thing as an example you can give to try to understand what is this pure devotional service. Let us continue. Devotional service should be executed only in a favorable frame of mind. Therefore, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, such attractions are not considered to be in devotional service. In other words, Kamsa and Shishupal. It's not favorable. Again, he analyzes the affection of the yadus. If it is on the platform of friendship, then it is spontaneous love. But if it's on the platform of regulative principles, then it is not. And only when affection comes to the platform of spontaneous love is it counted in the category of pure devotional service. There may be some difficulty in understanding that both the gopis and Kamsa achieved the same goal. So this point should be clearly understood, because the attitudes of Kamsa and Shishupal were different from that of the gopis. Although in all these cases, the focus is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all of the devotees are elevated to the spiritual world, there is still a distinction between these two classes of souls. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I did the homework, so this next quote that Prabhupada gives is from Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 11. Here's the Sanskrit. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Those of you who know that verse, that is a sign of advancement. And that's why I ring the bell for you. That the absolute truth is one, and that he is manifested as impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, Supersoul, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here is a spiritual distinction. Although Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are the same and one absolute truth, devotees like Kamsa or Shishupal could attain only to the Brahman effulgence. They could not have realization of Paramatma or Bhagavan. That is the distinction. Now, this next thing that Prabhupada is speaking is also found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'll give you the verse. It's a Sanskrit verse. This is found in the Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 36. This is one of the wonderful benefits of using the Bhaktivedanta Veda base. It makes doing homework very easy if you know how to look. Yadarinang priyanang cha prapyamekam ivoditam tad brahma krishna yor aikyat kiran arko pama jusho. An analogy can be given with the sun globe and the sunshine. To remain in the sunshine does not mean one has gone to the sun globe. The temperature of the sun globe is different from the temperature of the sunshine. One who has gone through the sunshine in jet planes or in spaceships has not necessarily gone to the sun globe, although the sunshine and the sun globe are actually one and the same. Still, there is a distinction, for one is the energy and one is the energetic source. The absolute truth and his bodily effulgence are in the same way simultaneously one and different. Kamsa and Shishupal attained to the absolute truth, but they were not allowed to enter into the Goloka Vrindavan abode. Impersonalists and the enemies of the Lord are, because of attraction to God, allowed to enter into his kingdom, but they are not allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets or the Goloka Vrindavan planet of the Supreme Lord. To enter the kingdom and to enter the king's palace are not the same thing. Srila Rupa Goswami is trying here to describe the different achievements of the impersonalist and the personalist. Generally, those who are impersonalist and are inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead get entrance only into the impersonal Brahman when and if they reach spiritual perfection. The impersonalist philosophers are in one sense like the enemies of the Lord, because the out-and-out enemies of the Lord and the impersonalist are both allowed to enter only into the impersonal effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. So it is to be understood that they are of similar classification. And actually, the impersonalists are enemies of God because they cannot tolerate the unparalleled opulence of the Lord. They try always to place themselves on the same level with the Lord. This is due to their envious attitude. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has proclaimed the impersonalists to be offenders of the Lord. And I found the exact quote where that comes from. That's also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here is the reference is when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares and a Brahmana came to Lord Chaitanya and said that Prakashananda Saraswati told him not to associate with Lord Chaitanya. And Prakashananda said, if you associate with that Chaitanya, you're going to fall down. But the Brahmin had already become attracted to Lord Chaitanya. So the Brahmin said to Lord Chaitanya, Prakashananda obviously knew who you were, but he could never say your full name, Krishna Chaitanya, because that was Lord Chaitanya's name, Krishna Chaitanya, as a sannyasi. He said, Prakashananda only said three times, Chaitanya. So the Brahmin said, why didn't Prakashananda say your full name, Krishna Chaitanya? So this is what Lord Chaitanya said in response to that Brahmin. Prabhu kahe, mayavadi krishne aparadi, brahma atma chaitanya kahe niravadi, ate eva tara muke na aise krishna nam, krishna nam krishna swarup duti saman. Lord Chaitanya said, the mayavadi impersonalists are great offenders unto Lord Krishna. Therefore, they simply utter the words Brahman, Atma, and Chaitanya. Because they are offenders unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is identical with his holy name, the holy name Krishna does not manifest in their mouths. So, elsewhere, there is a reference to this in the sense like this, that who is the best person in a group? If the person in the group says Krishna's name, that's the best person. Because only a devotee or one who is not an offender can say Krishna's name. You've all seen, I've seen, people will come to the temple They'll stand in front of the deity, but they don't chant. They're like this, right? You've seen? I've seen. So that tells you, they can't say Krishna's name. So there's got to be some offense going on. Whereas if somebody has no offense, the name of, especially when there's a kirtan going on, what more inducement do you need? You're in a temple in front of Krishna. There's a kirtan going on, and nothing comes out. There's got to be something's wrong. Yes. Yes. Not Kamsa. Not Kamsa. Shishupal. Yes. So, well, obviously we know for sure that Shishupal did go back. No, he was reinstated. He was reinstated. So, it's apparent, because first he entered into Krishna's body. Okay? So, taking at face value what Prabhupada is saying here, first he became merged, and then after that, he was reinstated. Okay? No, not Golok, Vaikuntha. Not Golok. No. He's in... Yeah, and he's one of Narayans. Yeah, that whole incident took place in the Vaikuntha planet, not Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? And it's interesting that you bring this up. And I've always had a question, because in Krishna book, Prabhupada says that Kamsa went back to Godhead and got a four-arm form like Narayan. Now, what Prabhupada is saying here, hold on, it's actually a quote from Rupa Goswami quoting one of his books. So I don't know how to reconcile it. It's not that Prabhupada's making something up. In here, because this is Rupa Goswami's book, he's got to present what Rupa Goswami says. So Rupa Goswami says, oh no, Kamsa only went to the Brahman. But in Krishna book, Prabhupada says, Kamsa went to Vaikuntha and got a four-arm form. So, well, I don't know. Okay? Chant Hare Krishna. Yes. Shishupal, yes. So the only explanation, first he merged, and then he resumed his position.
So they actually turned into the original form when they go there, or they go in the same form?
No, they resume their original form as Jai Vijay.
Right.
The Shishupal form is
temporary.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just the soul. Remember, he killed Shishupal, and out from his body came the spirit soul that entered. Because when you merge, you just merge as a spiritual spark. When you go back to Godhead, the soul expands, and you are awarded a particular body or form. Okay? I can only answer so far. Let us continue. The Lord is so kind, however, that even though they are his enemies, they are still allowed to enter into the spiritual kingdom and remain in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, the undifferentiated light of the Absolute. Sometimes an impersonalist may gradually elevate himself to the personal conception of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Does Raman know the verse Prabhupada's referring to? Yes, very good. Very good. Bahunang janmanam ante gyanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. So nice to come here to the advanced class. Very nice. Okay, now, this next thing that Prabhupada is referring to, I found this reference in chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm going to recite the Sanskrit because it looks to me that this is where he's getting it. Yet vaksharam anirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatyagam achintyamcha kutastam achalang dhruvam saniyam yendriya gramang sarvatya samabuddhaya te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhutahite rata. In other words, okay, Prabhupada just said, right? He said in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Sometimes the impersonalist may grant, right? That was... And then he gave, so I found this other quote, what I just, is another quote which is similar to that Bhagavad Gita verse. So here is in the 12th chapter. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable and unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. So I found that to be another reference to that same point. Because this, where does this come? This comes in the beginning of chapter 12 where Arjuna says, should I worship your personal form or impersonally? And Krishna says, best you worship my personal form. Then he says this. And then right after this, he says, but klesho adhikataraste-sham. If you're going to do that impersonal path, it is going to be troublesome. Klesha, exactly. Jai. This makes me so happy. All right, let's continue. By such surrender, an impersonalist can be elevated to the Vaikuntha Loka, spiritual planet, whereas a surrendered soul attains bodily features like those of the Lord. In the Brahmanda Purana it is stated, and I found that quote, which is also in the Adi Lila. All right? So, Prabhupada's quoting from the Brahmanda Pramanda. Here's the Sanskrit. Siddha lokas tu tamasa pare yatra vasantihi siddha brahma suke magna daityascha harina hata. Those who have achieved liberation from material contamination and those who are demons and are killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead become absorbed in the Brahman concept of life and reside in the spiritual sky of the Brahma Jyoti. The spiritual sky is far beyond the material sky, and it is confirmed also in Bhagavad Gita that beyond this material sky, there is another eternal sky. Does anybody know the verse Prabhupada's referring to in the Bhagavad Gita? What's that? Yes. Verse 20. Very good. Parastasmat tu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yak sasarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. The enemies and impersonalists may be allowed to enter into this Brahman effulgence, but the devotees of Krishna are promoted all the way to the spiritual planets. Because the pure devotees have developed their spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are allowed to enter into the spiritual planets to enjoy spiritual bliss in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the 10th canto, 87th chapter, so those who did Krishna book, Nishant and his brother here, Anand, what was the biggest chapter in Krishna book? Prayers by the personified Vedas. So that's where this reference comes from. The Vedas personify, address the Lord in this way. Here's the Sanskrit. Nibritya marun manoksha drida yoga yuju ridiyan munaya upasate tad aryopi yayus maranat striya uragindra bhogabuja danda vishakta dhyo vayamapite sama samadrisho ngri saroja sudha. My dear Lord, yogis meditate upon your localized feature, and thus they achieve the spiritual perfection of being merged in the impersonal Brahmajyoti. Persons who treat you as an enemy achieve the same perfection without meditating. The gopis who are embraced by your serpentine arms and who have such lusty attitudes also achieve the same perfection. And as far as we are concerned, being different demigods in charge of the different parts of Vedic knowledge, we are always following in the footsteps of the gopis. Thus, we hope to attain the same perfection. By the same perfection, quote unquote, we must always remember the example of the sun and the sunshine. Those who are impersonalist can merge into the sunshine like Brahmajyoti, whereas those who are in love with the Supreme Person enter into the supreme abode of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. The quote-unquote lusty attitude of the gopis does not refer to any sort of sex indulgence. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that this lusty desire refers to the devotee's particular attitude of association with Krishna. Every devotee in his or her perfectional stage has a spontaneous attraction to the Lord. This attraction is sometimes called the quote-unquote lusty desire of the devotee. The lust is the devotee's excessive desire to serve the Lord in a particular capacity. If I may be so bold, I have a lust to do programs. That is my lust. So hopefully that will ultimately deliver me one day. Such a desire may seem to be a desire for enjoying the Lord, but actually the endeavor is to serve the Lord in that capacity. For example, a devotee may be desiring to associate with the personality of Godhead as his cowherd friend. He or she will want to serve the Lord by assisting him in controlling the cows in the pasturing ground. This may appear to be a desire to enjoy the company of the Lord, but actually it is spontaneous love, serving him by assisting in managing the transcendental cows. And now we have a new subtitle, Sensual Attraction. This extreme desire to serve the Lord is manifest in the transcendental land of Vraja, and it is specifically manifested among the gopis. The gopis' love for Krishna is so elevated that for our understanding, it is sometimes explained as being quote-unquote lusty desire. And I found the next reference, which is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Here is the verse. Primaiva gopa ramanang kama it yagamat pratham iti udava jyopi etang vachanti bhagavat priya. So this is what, that verse is what Prabhupada says next. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Krishnadas, has explained the distinction between lusty desire and the service attitude in this next statement. And here is another quote, as he says, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here's the verse. Atmendriya priti vancha tare balikam. Krishnendriya priti ichchat dhare prema nam. Lusty desire refers to the desire to gratify one's personal senses. And transcendental desire refers to the desire for serving the senses of the Lord. In the material world, there is no such thing as a lover's wanting to please the senses of his or her beloved. Actually, in the material world, everyone wants mainly to gratify one's own personal senses. And Prabhupada would often give the example. That's why now in the Western world, there's so much divorce. It's all based on this. Like they even have a common expression. What have you done for me lately? It's a very common expression. So that means I'm only in it for me. The gopis, however, wanted nothing at all but to gratify the senses of the Lord. And there is no instance of this in the material realm. Therefore, the gopis' ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes described by scholars as being like the quote-unquote lusty desire of the material world. But actually, this should not be taken as a literal fact. It is simply a way of trying to understand the transcendental situation. Great devotees, up to the standard of Uddhava, are very dear friends of the Lord, and they desire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So the gopis' love for Krishna is certainly not material lusty desire. Otherwise, how could Uddhava aspire to follow in their footsteps? Another instance is Lord Chaitanya himself. After accepting the sannyas order of life, he was very, very strict about avoiding association with women. But still he taught that there is no better method of worshipping Krishna than that conceived by the gopis. Thus, the gopis' method of worshipping the Lord, as if impelled by lusty desire, was praised very highly, even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This very fact means that although the attraction of the gopis for Krishna appears to be lusty, it is not in the least bit material. Unless one is fully situated in the transcendental position, the relationship of the gopis with Krishna is very difficult to understand. But because it appears to be just like ordinary dealings of young boys and girls, it is sometimes misinterpreted to be like the ordinary sex of this material world. Unfortunately, persons who cannot understand the transcendental nature of the loving affairs of the gopis and Krishna take it for granted that Krishna's loving affairs with the gopis are mundane transactions, and therefore they sometimes indulge in painting licentious pictures in some modernistic style. And also, the five chapters in the Bhagavatam dealing with the Rasa Lila, in the final section of those five chapters, Shukadeva Goswami answers the doubt of Parikshit. Parikshit raises the same question that Shukadev, mundane people might misinterpret Krishna's dancing with the gopis. So Shukadev answers him by explaining all the reasons why Krishna's performance of the Rasa Leela is in no way a material lusty affair. So that's already, that is dealt with by Shukadev in the 10th canto. And Prabhupada would make the point, and that's why these pastimes of Krishna are found in the 10th canto. You're supposed to go to the first 9 so that, as it was said here, if you don't understand who is Krishna, then yes, you're going to think, oh, Krishna is an ordinary boy. I want to be just like Krishna. But if you go through the 9 cantos, by the time you get to the 10th, you should not have that misconception. Or in the case of Krishna book, if you go through Krishna book with all of Prabhupada's purports and explanations, there's no way that you're going to misconstrue that Krishna is an ordinary human being, because on almost every page, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right, let us finish up. On the other hand, the lusty desire of Kubja is described by learned scholars as being, quote unquote, almost lusty desire. Kubja was a hunchback woman who also wanted Krishna with a great ecstatic love. But her desire for Krishna was almost mundane, and so her love cannot be compared to that of the gopis. Her loving affection for Krishna is called Kama Praya, or almost like the gopis' love for Krishna.